Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It's college graduation season, caps and gowns, and again this year, no jobs or way too few. The statistics are grim. One in four seniors in the class of 2010 who applied for a job has found one. One in four, just 25%. That's slightly better than last year when it was one in five, but still very tough. It leaves a lot of people, young, energetic, and well-educated, not sure what to do when no one returns their calls. This hour On Point, we'll talk with the class of 2010 about the job hunt and survival strategies. You can join the conversation. Are you a new grad ready to conquer the world but unable to find a job? What's it like out there? Have you snagged work? How'd you do it? What's your survival strategy? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. At the end of this hour, we will hear from CNN anchor Anderson Cooper on advice to graduates for finding success even in tough times. But first, let's go to the class of 2010. Joining me right now from Piscataway, New Jersey, is Kristen Perez. She graduated magna cum laude from Howard University with a major in business administration, the honors track. She's still looking for a job in human resources. Kristen, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
From Seattle, Washington, Shauna Knuckles is here, graduating from the University of Washington next month in June. She majored in journalism, minored in international and diversity studies, also still looking for that job. Shauna, welcome.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And with us from Oak Park, Illinois, we're joined by Alexandra Levitt, syndicated columnist for The Wall Street Journal. She advises companies on millennials and millennials, new grads, on getting jobs. Author of several career guidebooks, including How Do You Score That Gig? She's going to listen in today and maybe advise a little bit. Alexandra Levitt, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Great to be here.
And I should say right off the top that Kristen and Shauna's resumes are on our website, onpointradio.org. If you're listening, if you've got a job for them, they'll be happy to hear from you through us. We'll make that happen. All right, Kristen, Shauna, first you, and we hope to hear from many more 2010 grads today. But what's the conversation? I mean, Shauna, you haven't walked yet, but you will in June. What are people saying as they approach graduation day? What's the word about jobs?
Basically, what I'm hearing from everyone right now is that there aren't any at all. Everyone that I know that has been applying to jobs, very few have even heard any type of answer back, even if it's just a no.
That's a pretty stony situation to look at. Kristen, what about in your world? You're in a world of business administration majors. Well, the economy is supposed to be perking up again, but we know there's a lot of unemployment along with that. What are people saying?
I think it's a lot better than it was last year. A lot of people I know have they've been doing pretty okay in their job searches. About 30% of the people I know actually have jobs. Mm-hmm. So I've been steadily applying, and sometimes I hear back, sometimes I don't. It's kind of discouraging.
When did you start applying for jobs or looking for a job? You're graduating now. When did it begin?
Mm-hmm. I started looking in November, or actually, September, October, in the fall, I was looking, and I thought I was going to be employed by hopefully December, so that I would have been able to kind of coast through my second semester in school and know that I had something to do post graduation. But nothing really stuck, and I'm actually still applying and interviewing, going through the job search process now.
How many jobs have you applied for? How many firms have you applied to, Kristen?
I am not sure exactly. I had been using my school's job board and kind of public job boards and through networking. I I have been interviewing maybe with 10 companies for 10 different positions, but I think that I've gotten like a 30% success rate with the interviews, you know, after applying to things and sending out my resume.
Success rate meaning a call back to let's talk some more?
Mm-hmm. A call back and actually an interview from the initial application.
And you're honors track, magna cum laude, and you've been out there for a lot of internships already. I mean, you've sort of done the whole drill. What internships have you done?
I did two human resources, kind of HR recruiting internships at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and then another similar internship at McGraw-Hill Companies.
So you've been out there. You've done it. You've gotten your feet wet, been in the world. What do you think's going on, Kristen?
I think that the HR field is a little less there aren't as many jobs in the HR field. Being in business, especially coming from the Howard University School of Business, a lot of the focus is on financial services and investment banking.
Yeah.
And so when a lot of the recruiting goes out, that's who they're aiming for. That's where the analyst positions are in that area. And even with PricewaterhouseCoopers, it's an accounting firm, so their main focus are accounting majors. And since I'm not that, it's kind of hard for them to place me into, I guess, a less popular role.
I'm looking here at, this is from the, what's it called? The National Association of Colleges and Employers 2010 Student Survey. Majors and job offers, top majors for job offers this year, accounting, business administration, computer science, engineering, mathematics. And at the bottom, we'll ask Alexander why this may be. At the bottom, education, well, maybe because of all the layoffs in the education world. Then physical sciences, I don't know why that, English, and psychology at the bottom of the worst major job offer ratios in 2010. Shauna, let's look at your story. How have you gone about thinking about looking for a job?
My job search has started a little bit later. I've been in the process of just really finishing school, so it's really mostly just been this quarter that I've been searching for jobs.
Yeah.
And I've just been applying everywhere that I can find through my school's job board, through online postings, through researching companies and different internships.
Online postings point, like what, Sean? Like, where have you looked?
Craigslist. I've looked in their public relations and marketing field and career builder type of websites. Like that has what I've been looking on.
You're a journalism major with minors in international relations, diversity studies. What kind of, I mean, you know what journalism looks like these days, a noble endeavor, but tough economically right now. Where are you really looking for work? PR?
Right. I really honestly have been so discouraged to even look for journalism jobs just because I know that there are hardly any. So I've mostly been looking for PR, and that's what most of my internships have been geared towards.
And what's your feedback so far from the job market? What are you hearing back from your postings, from your searchings of postings, your responses? What are you getting back?
At this point, I have one pending interview next week, and that's really pretty much all I've heard back from the jobs that I've applied to.
One interview. What are you going to do if you don't get a job? Graduation's coming up, right? When do you have to be out of the dorm?
I don't live in a dorm. Luckily live in a house, so being homeless really is not a worry at this point.
Good.
So I guess, you know, just keep looking. I don't really think there's anything much else I could do. Is just keep looking.
Will you go home to mom and dad when the rent gets hard to pay, or not?
You know, I'm really hoping not to. I would really like to stay in Seattle and hopefully find a job because there's a lot more opportunity here.
Where are your parents? Where did you grow up, Shauna?
I'm from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Okay. Could you conceive going there and looking locally, or just not in the cards?
I mean, it's definitely an option, but I just feel like there's so much less opportunity there than there is here, and I probably would have even less luck finding a job there than in the city here.
All right, Alexandra Levitt, there's just two of the class of 2010. I'm sure we'll hear from more, but you hear their stories already. Kristen Paris out there with lots and lots of applications and top honors, and so far nothing coming back. Shauna out a little later. One interview coming up, hopefully, next week. What do you say to this picture, Alexandra?
Well, Kristen and Shauna, first of all, thanks for joining us and thanks for being here and telling your stories. I think that you're in a uniquely difficult position. First of all, obviously the job market is in a poor state right now. In 2009, the job market for college grads plummeted by about 40%, and it has not recovered from that in 2010. And added to that, you guys are members of the largest single-year birth cohort in the history of the United States. And
wow.
What that means is that there were more children born in 1988 and 1989 than in all other years. So not only are you competing for fewer positions, but there are more of you that are competing. And plus, 54% of the people in your generation are graduating from college. So you have are facing some stiff competition in a market that's very poor. But what I would say to both of you is that you have to think a little bit out of the box in terms of your strategies. It seems like both of you are relying mostly on applying to listed positions, which you have to remember, so is everyone else. That's what everyone else is doing. They're looking on Craigslist, they're looking on Monster, they're looking at their school's job boards, and they are sending their resumes in. And if you think of the person reading those resumes, they're doing the best they can, but when you get 500 resumes, someone could be magna cum laude, someone could be someone like you both are with a history of fantastic internships, but you're just going to get lost. There's no way to stand out. And so what you both, I think, want to do first and foremost is start developing one-on-one individual relationships with people who work in the target organizations that you would like to eventually have as employers. And what you want to do to get started with that is, for Kristen, it sounds like you've had some interesting internships. Reconnect with the people in those internships and see how things are going for business there in those groups at Price Waterhouse and McGraw-Hill, and let them know what you're up to. If there are people you had a specific good relationship with, reconnect and see if there's any possibility of you coming back on. Shauna, if there are particular companies in the Seattle area that you're interested in, go on LinkedIn, find individuals who are working in those organizations, and ask them for a 20 to 30 minute informational interview to tell you a little bit more about their career path, how they got to be where they are, and what advice they might have for a new grad. Don't ask them for a new job right off the bat, because that might put them on the defensive and they might not have anything, and that might shut them down.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with new college grads of the class of 2010 about the job hunt in 2010 and survival strategies in the economy of 2010. We've got a couple of new grads with us. Kristen Paris joins us from New Jersey, graduating magna cum laude from Howard University, major in business administration, looking for something in human resources. Shauna Knuckles is with us. She's just coming out of the University of Washington. An Idaho kid there, wants to stay in Seattle, majored in journalism, thinking about public relations. Pretty open. One job interview after her looking around so far. Alexandra Levitt is with us as well. She lectures and advises on millennials and talks to millennials about getting into the job world. Syndicated columnist for the Wall Street Journal, author of They Don't Teach Corporate in College and How Do You Score That Gig? Let's get some of our listeners in here right away. Kristen Paris, Shauna, we've got Jason calling from Ames, Iowa. Jason, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, yeah, I thought I'd just share my story here. I recently graduated in December with a degree in sociology, which is probably on the bottom of that list you listed earlier. But, yeah, I find it increasingly difficult to find the positions that I'm qualified for, or I find that I'm overqualified for many of the positions. It seems to me that it's more important to have an in with the organization than it does to have the degree, and that's what I'm finding here.
An in with an organization. Have you found any job, Jason, since December?
I'm lucky in that I kind of had a part-time job during school that I was able to get in there full-time. But I know there's a lot of others that aren't so lucky. But now that I'm actually looking for a job that pertains to my degree, I'm finding it's just extremely difficult to get in there. Because I'm also looking for something in HR. And, I mean, almost everyone I know in HR has been working with the company in some capacity as an HR person.
And what's the part-time job? What's the part-time job you turned into a full-time job so far, Jason?
I work at Best Buy. Yeah.
Best Buy. So yeah, you're on the floor at Best Buy selling whatever it is, vacuum cleaners or stereos or you name it.
You name it. You name it, we get it, right?
Right. Jason, thank you for your call. Okay. Kristen, are you prepared to work at Best Buy while you continue to look for a job?
It's not really in my plan, but if nothing comes up, I mean, I would definitely just kind of go into a retail position while I'm still looking for, like, a career, really. And I would prefer not to have to do that. And I'm still kind of riding my recent graduation wave, going on vacation with my family. And I'm actually going back to D.C. in 2 weeks to do a summer program from which I hope to receive a job opportunity. So
that would be great. We're rooting for you. We are rooting for you. Resumes up at onpointradio.org. Alexandra, advice on this front. Jason has got the job, had a part-time job in retail. He's gone full-time at Best Buy while he looks for a job in the career field that he envisions. Good idea or not?
I actually think Jason's strategy is excellent. I think that people underestimate the learnings that can be gained from a retail position. People have to realize that there is no way that you're going to know what you want to do with the rest of your life when you're 22 years old. And therefore, any step you take into career is really going to be one that ideally will allow you to gain what are called transferable skills. So things like sales, marketing, client relations. And if you think of Jason's job at Best Buy, he's gaining experience in all of those areas. So even if he doesn't end up working at Best Buy for life, well, if he got a position in human resources, he probably wouldn't work in that for life either. So he's really taking a smart approach that's allowing him to make money while he is a little bit more flexible in his job search. I think that Kristen and Shauna can pursue similar paths, perhaps taking a retail job while you do an unpaid internship or an unpaid position in some of these companies that you're hoping to get in the door with, because that's a strategy that I understand that many new grads are succeeding in, but obviously unpaid internships will not pay the bills. So you need to have something on the side, and I think that something on the side can really provide valuable experience that people underestimate.
Well, you open a big door there, internships, and in particular unpaid internships. Yeah. An awful lot of people in the class of 2009 and 2010 have gone that route. There's controversy about it. I mean, I see here news that the Labor Department is now cracking down on companies that fail to pay interns. Here's the Labor Department's head of the Wage and Hour Division says, if you're a for-profit employer or you want to pursue an internship with a for-profit employer, there aren't going to be many circumstances where you can have an internship and not be paid and still be in compliance with the law. But there's a lot of that out there. Shauna, would you take an unpaid internship to get your fingernails into something?
Well, at this point, I have already done 3 or 4 unpaid internships, so I would really at least like to have a paid internship. But I guess if that's all I can find, more experience is always better.
Well, Shauna, what about the people who you had unpaid internships with already? Have you maintained relationships with those people?
I do have some relationships. Two of the internships that I did were with nonprofits, so unfortunately they're kind of strapped for funding and job opportunities are really limited in those. And the other internship that I have right now is in journalism, and there are very limited jobs there as well.
Kristen, I'm guessing you had paid internships, given that you were at PricewaterhouseCoopers and McGraw-Hill. Are you prepared to now, you know, walk out and do unpaid after having been on that path?
I would prefer not to. If I chose to do an unpaid internship, it would have to be in something that I really, really, really had a passion for. But because I've had paid internships, it would be very hard for me to take a step down and do an unpaid internship. But if it was something that I was extremely passionate about, I would be open to it.
What's the rap on unpaid internships among your classmates? Are they seen as, you know, the way to find a job, or just rank exploitation, or how do people look at them?
Well, coming from the business school, unpaid internships are kind of frowned upon. Everybody that I know who had internships were at, you know, really high-paying companies. So it's not something that we strive for, but I think that if you find something that you really want to do and you really would like to gain experience, and the only way for you to gain experience in it is through an unpaid internship, I think it's a great idea.
Alexandra Levitt, how do you get into an unpaid position and make it work for yourself as a new grad rather than just being kind of, you know, cheap labor? Free labor.
Well, Tom, that's a great question. I think what you need to do is what we started to talk about earlier, which is get individual relationships with these with people who work in your target organizations by starting off with an informational interview, getting to know them a little bit, perhaps exchanging a couple of emails, perhaps having a phone call, maybe even meeting them for lunch, and sort of establish a one-on-one mentoring relationship, at which point it makes sense to ask, do you or any of your colleagues need any help? Perhaps we could work out something where, you know, I work in exchange for experience, have a time limit on it. It's only going to be, you know, a couple of months, two or three, and then get to know as many people in that organization as you can and get as much experience in as many different areas as you can. Don't just be limited to what they're telling you to do on that day, but go out and look at what the other departments do. For example, Shauna, who's interested in PR, if you have landed in the PR department, go to the adjacent marketing department, see what they do, go to the sales organization, see what they do, and talk to as many people as possible, and also establish goals for yourself at the beginning. Say that these are the skills that I want to obtain, these are the people that I want to meet, and make sure that you're doing those things rather than just running around like a chicken with your head cut off, which sometimes happens with both paid and unpaid interns.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Andrew, calling from Boston. Hi, Andrew, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom, how are you?
Very well.
Great. Well, I'm actually a graduate of the class of 2009,
okay.
And I graduated with a degree in English literature,
mm-hmm.
And I was one of my only friends who was employed before graduation, and I actually took some very sage advice from an alumnus in the spring when the job market was just about as bad as now, or arguably worse.
Yes.
The market was at 6,000. A lot of my friends are looking at financial jobs or marketing gigs or consulting gigs.
So what was your approach?
Well, I talked to this alumnus, and he said, what do you like to do? And I said, well, you know, I like, you know, efficiency. I like making systems work. He said, no, what do you actually like to do? And I said, well,
right.
I like Italy, and I like cycling. And I studied in Italy, and I'm a huge cyclist. He said, well, do that. And I said, okay. So I looked around on the Internet. You poked around, found some cyclotourism companies.
Yeah.
And I applied to lead tours in Europe. But I serendipitously, one company was hiring for an inside sales position. And I interviewed for it, and I had the offer before graduation.
And this is in a vacation or a holiday bicycle touring company in Europe?
No, well, we're based in Boston, but yeah,
okay.
We have offices in Italy, and we run tours all over Western Europe. So I interviewed for this job, and I said, well, this is great, you're a perfect fit. And then the other advice that I had was, you know, don't rely necessarily on your major. You know, as an English major,
right.
That only helped me
Can't
with my
it.
Writing and my speaking.
Yep.
But draw on your experiences in college. You know, anything you do in college, you can put some sort of professional spin on it. So my travels in Europe, absolutely, that helped, and also the cycling factor. So I was also the business manager for my acapella group and had to do a ton of inside sales and marketing work,
right.
Which, you know, essentially gave me 2 or 3 years of experience right out of the gate.
So you landed that job in inside sales, and what does that mean exactly?
You know, working with clients who contact us who want to go on trips,
mm-hmm.
We have no outside salespeople, so essentially I am a tour consultant. Anybody who has questions with regard to a trip, I answer them, figure out logistical problems.
And what about that cycling part, the thing you love to do in Italy? Are you doing that as well or watching other people?
I'm leaving on a flight at 6:30 tonight to go spend 10 days in northern Italy. So,
Kristen, Shauna, are you feeling sick listening to this?
I mean, yeah, it sounds like a dream come true.
He's cycling in Italy. So your bottom line advice out of that, Andrew?
It's just, you know, draw on your experiences and try to do what you love. And the guy said to me, if you do what you love, you'll be successful.
Boy, you know, people say that and it's hard to trust it. It looks like it may be working in your case. Shauna, what about it? What do you most love? If you were going to try Andrew's strategy here, where would you dive in?
Oh, that's a tough question. I guess I am pretty passionate and interested in fashion. I've been working in retail for almost 3 years now.
Yeah.
And I have been working behind the scenes doing various work at fashion shows throughout Seattle. And I recently helped with Seattle Fashion Week. So
maybe something in there. Talk to people about jobs. Kristen, what about you? I mean, you're lined up for human resources, honors grad in business administration. But that path may not be working in this economy. Are you willing to sort of stretch your sense of what your career might be, or are you determined to go that, you know, sort of corporate path?
Oh, I'm absolutely willing to stretch, you know, my ideas of what I'd like to be doing in the future. What I'm really interested in is event planning, and I kind of picked that up in my internships, and it was corporate event planning, but I would love to do something on the hospitality end, maybe do weddings or, you know, smaller scale events.
Alexandra, what do you say about the do what you love advice? Sage advice or, you know, I don't know, a trap for some people or not?
Well, Tom, I think it can be a trap in the sense that college graduates put so much pressure on themselves to find that passion, and that they think that there is probably only one, and it's just kind of like trying to find your soulmate. The harder you try, sometimes the less it works. But what I would say is that Andrew brings up an interesting point. Mm-hmm. He went to smaller organizations and applied to share his talents with those. And in fact, in 2009, we saw that while hiring plummeted in some of the large organizations that Kristen and Shauna have been considering, it actually grew in smaller organizations, organizations with fewer than 500 people. Mm-hmm. So it actually grew by about 15%. So those small organizations may be out there looking for talents like event planning for Kristen, and Shauna, you said fashion. Mm-hmm. So you might try looking there and try combining the strategies. Try establishing those relationships with individuals who are either sole proprietors or people who have a small business with maybe 10, 20 employees that are doing the things that you're interested in, and see if you can go to work part-time for them. We mentioned working unpaid if you can afford it for a little while, and hopefully go on and maybe be an apprentice to one of these people with a small business. You learn so much as a result of doing things like that. You get all hands on deck. You learn all those transferable skills mm-hmm. we were talking about. Mm-hmm. I think it's really very valuable.
They may see you as more than just a resume in a pile as well. Here from Facebook is Ermin Miranda says, my advice is you have the rest of your life to be miserable at a job. Don't take life too seriously until you have a child or hit your 30s. we'll contemplate that. Daniel, I think driving a big rig on I-35 in Missouri. Daniel, you're on the air. Thanks for calling. What do you know?
Hi there, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling in regards to something that hasn't been mentioned yet, and that is the, you had mentioned one previous caller about students being in dorms and that sort of thing, and
yep.
they're about to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I also wanted to bring up was that the students that are with student loans,
oh yeah,
credit cards and finances and that sort of thing, that they're already in debt with getting these classes done and whatnot. You know, how far in debt these students are and not able to find a job.
That's going to hang over people right away. Shauna, let me come first to you on that. I mean, we heard Ms. Miranda saying don't take things too seriously, but when the loan payments start coming due, it's hard not to. What about that in your case, Shauna?
For me, I've been very, very fortunate, and I'm graduating with a very small amount of debt, so luckily that's not something that I'm too worried about. My loan payments will be really small. So
you know a lot of your classmates aren't in the same circumstance.
Yeah, definitely. I know people who have tens of thousands of dollars worth of debt, and they have already had to start paying on it, and that's definitely a big stressor for them.
Kristen, is that a factor in your situation?
Actually, I agree with Shauna. I've been very, very fortunate to actually graduate with zero debt. So I it's not a problem for me, but I can understand that it would be a major concern factor for a lot of other students.
Alexandra, we've got a couple of, they don't have jobs yet, but they're lucky young women in the sense that they don't have that debt load. Daniel's right. Many, many students do. How does that change the job hunt, Alexandra?
Well, I think it changes the job hunt in that you have to be more flexible. We mentioned taking jobs that may not be your absolute ideal to gain both income and experience. And I think people have to be a little bit more open to moving back in with their parents. 30% of the people in the millennial generation, which is this generation of 20-somethings, are currently living at home. And I think there's nothing necessarily wrong with that while you get back on your feet, while you wait for things to improve or you pay down some of that debt. It's better to nip it in the bud now than to allow it to keep growing and growing. And then you go and you want to raise a family, you want to get married, you want to do all those things associated with adult life, and then you don't have the money because you're carrying all this debt. So better to give yourself a little bit of time to ease into the real world by doing things that perhaps you wouldn't have considered before, just recognizing that we have been in a recession. It is a tougher time than normal. And the classes of 2009 and 2010 have to be a little bit more flexible.
To say maybe the very least. Kristen, Shauna doesn't really want to go back home to Idaho. How about you and the home strategy?
I'm home now, actually. it was never my plan. I didn't really want to. But you have to do what you have to do.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking with new college grads of the class of 2010 about the job hunt and survival strategies in the tough economy of 2010. Kristen Paris joins us today. She's just coming out of Howard University magna cum laude with a major in business administration on the honors track there. Shauna Knuckles joins us from Seattle. She's coming out of the University of Washington with a journalism degree. And Alexandra Levitt is here, syndicated columnist for the Wall Street Journal, author of How'd You Score That Gig? She's talked and lectured and thought a lot about how to land that job. Let's go to Elise in Savannah, Georgia. Elise, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. What do you know, Elise?
Well, I'm also a writing major here at the Savannah College of Art and Design.
Great.
And I'm graduating in 1 week. And my strategy so far has been to apply for jobs that I can, but also to freelance. I've been doing a lot of freelance work, freelance content building on the web, a lot of just, you know, sending out my resume and writing, you know, maybe 40-word pieces.
How's that working for you?
It's been working okay. It doesn't pay very well, but, I mean, it gets my name out there.
So is it a career strategy? Or are you killing time? What's your strategy?
It's mostly a career strategy, but it's also I'm hoping to kind of parlay it into more of a full-time freelance gig.
Okay. Alexandra, there's the web. You know, everybody's got it, and there's the Elise is out there doing some freelancing. Can you just, like, get on the web and start working freelance? Maybe it's journalism. Maybe it's something else. Is that a way to support yourself while you're looking for a job or to get your fingernails in here, Alexandra?
I like Elise's strategy, and what I liked most about what she said is that she's trying to get her name out there and established on the web, because, in fact, establishing a personal brand online is one of the best ways to get noticed by employers who may be perusing around sites that they hang out on, Facebook, LinkedIn, looking for their own qualified candidates, people that they want to handpick.
But it's such a big ocean. How do you stand out there? You know, there's so many little ships in that sea.
Well, I think it depends on how specific you want to get in your content area. We didn't talk yet with Elise about this, but you want to pick a specific niche that you have expertise and life experience to talk about, and just get on blogs that are related to those. Start commenting on the blogs. Maybe establish your own blog. Maybe go on to websites that accept content, usually it'll be unpaid at first, that are in this area, and gradually just start letting people know that you can write really well and that you have a lot to offer. And that way, at least if you're in journalism or writing or one of those areas where you need to submit clips, you can obviously say, here are all the places that I've written for already. And plus, when people do a Google search for you when you're applying for any job, mm-hmm. they come up with all that valuable content that you've already generated.
It's a way to wave the flag. Let's go to Christy in Narragansett, Rhode Island. Hi, Christy. What do you know?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well.
I wanted to mention the Peace Corps as an option for recent graduates. I graduated in 2004, and I went to Madagascar in the Peace Corps. I stayed for 4 years. Was hired by an NGO in Madagascar, stayed for an extra year, and now I'm home just for the summer, and I've actually been hired by my old university, Lewis and Clark College in Portland, to go back to Africa and work with them this coming semester.
Wow, so you've got kind of two things going. I mean, 5 years in Madagascar, and it's put you on a track. And what about the years themselves? Do they feel well spent when you look back on your life? What will you think of those, Christy?
Definitely. They were five of the most incredible years of my life, and Peace Corps definitely gave me the experience, the field experience that I needed to decide what branch of international development I wanted to go into. And without that, I think I might still be, you know, just as confused as I was in 2004.
Congratulations on that. Kristen, Shauna, what about the, you know, the sort of Peace Corps or Teach for America or that whole world? And then what about going overseas at all, Kristen? Is it something on your, on your mind?
It's not something I had thought about, but I think it's definitely a great option for me and my peers. This year, Teach for America was a very, very, very popular alternative. Unfortunately, the program is very selective, and a lot of people didn't get selected to
participate. Actually hard to get into it, yeah.
Yeah, but Teach for America was a lot of people's top alternative.
Shauna, would you go overseas? What about the Peace Corps? Do you think about it?
Going abroad is definitely an option that I'm keeping on the horizon. I have a couple friends who are looking into teaching English abroad, so that is something that I've been looking into a little bit and kind of keeping open to.
Alexandra, good, is it a, I don't know, is it a detour? Is it a good thing, a bad thing? How's it play to go abroad?
Well, in How'd You Score That Gig, we actually talk a fair amount about teaching English as a second language abroad. I think it's a fantastic option, not the least of which the fact that you can really gain a valuable experience in a situation that you might not be able to pull off 5 to 10 years from now. I mean, when you're in your early 20s, you have the flexibility of being unencumbered and being able to just travel around Europe and gain life experiences that once you get further along in your adult career, you might not have the option of doing. So in that respect, I think it's wonderful to do. It's great to do, too, before you have an established career, because once you're on a career track, it's hard to take 2 to 3 to 4 weeks or even months to do the kind of traveling that you've always wanted to do. So now is actually the perfect time. People talk about gap years, which are the year between after graduation but before you start a career. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity if you can afford to do it. I think that teaching English is a great option because you do get paid for that usually. Or just going overseas and taking any job that you can get just for the adventure. Now, granted, this isn't something that's really palatable to all types of personalities. I know myself, I probably would have been very nervous doing this when I was 22, but if it's something that sounds exciting to you, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful option.
If you're going to stay home, you're going to have to be pretty scrappy, I'd say, in this job market. 1 in 4 who've applied have got a job, but here's the story of one Vadim Leonov, who writes us. He went to Duke University, got a degree in bachelor's in economics, and he's scored a job. In August, he says, he'll be settling in Manhattan for a job at the U.S. headquarters of a large global investment bank. He says, but listen to this story. He said he applied to over 100 jobs, had over 50 first-round interviews, 7 final-round interviews. So the main reason he thinks he finally scored was persistence, determination, planning, way more difficulty, writes, than he'd ever imagined. Spent 4 months actively interviewing on campus as a junior, didn't get a single internship, got desperate, went through the list of every single investment bank in New York, Charlotte, Washington, Los Angeles, cold called every single number and offered his services for free, denied on all fronts, told to call back in a couple of years. And then he says, through pure luck and a connection, he was able to get an unpaid internship at a small firm in New York, 8 weeks, but that allowed him to gain the experience necessary to have full-time employers interested in him, and now he's snagged it. Wow. I mean, Shauna, 100 jobs, he applied for 50 first-round interviews. It sounds like he's invested more in the process than you have, Shauna.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I guess I really haven't thought that it was going to be as long of a process. I guess I didn't really consider that I might.
That is a long trail.
Yeah, 100. Wow. Job application sounds like a really, really long process.
50 interviews. Alexandria, is that what it takes for the people who actually get the jobs? Is it connections? Is it that kind of determination? What's making the difference?
Well, first of all, Tom, I just want to assure Shauna that this is not the end of the world. And the fact that you enjoyed your college experience, frankly,
Amen.
I think
Amen.
That's more important than anything else, because you only have one college experience.
Mm-hmm.
You get to work for the rest of your life. So don't feel guilty about the fact that you didn't start this as a junior and that you didn't spend your entire college career preparing for your job search. Because I don't know, I mean, you saw with this story that he applied to these 100 jobs. He had 50 first-round interviews, but in the end, that wasn't what got him the job.
Mm-hmm.
What got him the job was that one-on-one connection where he got in the door with an organization, he helped out a little bit for free for a while, and then they knew his work ethic. They knew that they had a proven entity in him and that they could trust him. And that's how he got the position in the end. And that's what we've been saying from the very beginning. That's how you have to make these things happen. Now, the quality of persistence is an important one, because you'll notice that this strategy of developing and cultivating relationships slowly over time does require a lot of persistence. It's not just a matter of calling someone for one informational interview and bam, you've got a job. It takes a little bit of getting to know people and cultivating that over time. And I think if you do that and you're willing to be persistent, that's going to be where the success is in the end.
So congrats to Vadim there. And Shauna, we are absolutely rooting for you. And yes to what Alexandra says about the value of savoring that college education. Rochelle, I got one more call here. Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Rochelle, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I can really empathize with your guest today. My situation's a little different. I graduated, got my BA from the University of Northern Iowa in 2005, and I'm recently completed my master's at the University of Northern Iowa in Communication Studies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm finding that, I'm willing to be scrappy. I'm willing to take part-time work, adjunct opportunities to teach, but I'm overqualified in terms of education and underqualified in terms of, you know, work experience. So I don't know how the situation differs for those who are recently graduating with a master's degree.
What about it, Alexandra? I mean, it's the coming into the same economy as the new bachelor degree holders.
Right. Well, that's part of the problem. I especially think that it's difficult if you went for a master's degree without any clear plan of how that master's degree was going to make you more employable or more marketable. I'm hearing from so many master's candidates that are saying, gosh, I'm coming out in this economy and I might as well have not even gone to graduate school in terms of all it has done for me.
And yet graduate school applications we read are way up because people are afraid to go into the job market.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, but that's actually a bad reason to go to graduate school, just because the economy is bad, because then you end up in more debt. You've wasted 2 to 3 years of your life, and you may end up with a degree that you don't end up using for anything. In particular, law school applications are way up, and most people will come out of law school realizing they don't really like practicing law, so they'll end up doing something else entirely. I think if you're thinking about applying to grad school, important thing to consider is, are you definitely interested in that career path? Have you had very specific experience in that career path to show that it's something you feel passionate about? And will that degree be necessary in terms of getting ahead in that career? And if the answer to that is no, you might want to rethink that decision.
Kristen, when's your next interview?
My next interview will be in 2 weeks.
We wish you the very best luck with it. We hope you snag something wonderful and soon, and keep your chin up no matter what. It will come to you. Kristen Paris out of Howard University joining us today from Piscataway, New Jersey. Thank you so much for being with us this hour, Kristen.
Thank you for having me.
And Shauna Knuckles in Seattle, we're rooting for you all the way. Hang in there. It will come to you. Have faith. Thank you for joining us today, Shauna.
Thank you for having me.
Shauna and Kristen's resumes are up at our website. Alexandra Levitt, author of How'd You Score That Gig? Thanks very much for joining us, Alexandra.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It was great.
In a moment, CNN's Anderson Cooper addresses graduates at Tulane University. This is On Point. This commencement season, we're airing excerpts from notable addresses from around the country. Emmy Award-winning journalist and CNN news anchor Anderson Cooper has covered major stories around the world and along the U.S. Gulf Coast after Hurricane Katrina. On Saturday, he spoke to the graduates of Tulane University in New Orleans about what he's learned along the way. He began, he said, exactly where the more than 2,000 graduates before him were on graduation day.
How many liberal arts majors are there here? Yeah. I feel your pain. I know. You're masking it well, but I too was a liberal arts major, so, you know, like you, I have no actual skill. And that's right. All the engineers are very happy. All the doctors and the engineers are like, absolutely. I majored in political science. And I really, well, if you can figure out what it means, yeah, let me know, because I'm still trying to figure it out. I graduated in 1989, and I'd actually focused almost entirely on the Soviet Union and communism in my studies. So when the Berlin Wall fell, I was completely screwed. And I mean, I know it wasn't about me, and I was happy, you know, for them. But personally, I got to say, it was a blow. Now, I know many of you graduating today are worried about the economy and about your job prospects, and I wish I could tell you, don't worry about it, but of course you should be concerned. The one thing I can tell you, however, is that this has happened before, and we have recovered. The currents of history only move in one direction, and that direction is forward. When I graduated college, there were hiring freezes at most TV networks. I tried for months to get an entry-level job at ABC News, answering phones, Xeroxing, whatever I could get, and I could not get the job. And at the time, it was crushing, but in retrospect, not getting that entry-level job was probably the best thing that could have happened to me. After months of waiting, I decided that if no one would give me a chance as a reporter, I'd have to take a chance. If no one would give me an opportunity, I'd have to try to create my own opportunity. I wanted to be a war correspondent, so I decided I would just start going to wars. And, yeah, well, you laugh, but it seemed like a good idea at the time. As you can imagine, my mom was absolutely thrilled about this plan. I had a friend of mine make a fake press pass for me on a Mac, and I borrowed a home video camera, and I snuck into Burma, and I hooked up with some students fighting the Burmese government. And then I moved on to Somalia in the early days of the famine and the fighting there. And I figured if I went to places that were dangerous, I wouldn't have much competition, And because I was willing to sleep on the roofs of buildings and live on just a few dollars a day, I was able to charge very little for my stories. And as ridiculous as this sounds, my plan actually worked. And after 2 years on my own shooting stories in war zones, I was hired by ABC News as a correspondent. And at the time, I was like the youngest correspondent they'd hired in many years. And had I gotten that entry-level job that I'd wanted, I would never have become a network correspondent so quickly. I probably would never have even become one at all. So the things that seem like heartbreaking setbacks sometimes turn out to be lucky breaks. While I don't remember my commencement, I do remember my senior year of college. And I remember feeling paralyzed because I thought I had to figure out my future all at once. I thought I had to pick a career, start down a path that I'd be on for the rest of my life. And I now know that it doesn't work that way at all. I mean, everyone I know who's successful, and by successful I mean happy in their professional and personal life, every successful person I know could never have predicted when they graduated from college where they'd actually end up. Now, I'm not saying you should take it easy and just see what happens. You need to outwork everyone around you. You need to arrive early. You need to stay late. You need to make yourself indispensable. You should probably also get rid of all those Facebook photos you passed out on Bourbon Street. Just an idea, just a suggestion. But as you consider what to do now, you shouldn't necessarily feel that your next step is the most important one you'll ever take. It's not. You're going to go down many paths that go nowhere, especially you English majors. You're going to try, God bless them. That's what I love about the South. You can say anything. If you say, God love them afterward, it's okay. Or bless their hearts. You're going to try things on and realize they don't fit, and that's how it should be. Learning what you don't want to do is the next best thing to figuring out what you do want to do.
CNN's Anderson Cooper speaking to graduates of Tulane University in New Orleans on Saturday. For a transcript and video of the speech, go to our website, On Point Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.